You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello and welcome to The Punt. Alex Dunn standing in for Dave Kellner once again. He's in Las Vegas this week. Gets paid far too much, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, let's not get into that. Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin join me once again. And the Premier League is back, fellas. Finally. It seems like it's been away for absolutely ages, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, like Liverpool's last game was against Man City. And that seemed like about a year ago. I can't believe it's only been a couple of weeks. And Kellner, what you do? Is he skiing in Vegas? What? Yeah, the holidays. Is he a tax exile?
No comment. I couldn't possibly speculate. Mr. Kerwin, how are you?
I'm very well. He must be spending all that money he's won from backing Solomon Rondon all season.
We've got some fantastic games, to be fair, to welcome us back, haven't we, this week? Not least Liverpool-Everton, of course, but plenty of really mouthwatering clashes at both ends of the table.
Yeah, it's no surprise that, you know, after an international break, it's always the same, isn't it? They're not stupid, are they, the Premier League? They make sure they're a pretty attractive fix. And there are, you know, good ones, as you said, at the bottom and the top of the table. So looking forward to it.
We'll start then with the Merseyside derby. 12:30 on Saturday lunchtime, Liverpool v Everton. Liverpool 8-11, the draw 14-5. Everton are 4-1. Everton haven't won at Anfield since 1999, when Kevin Campbell scored in a 1-0 victory. Are they going to change that this time around, Derek?
Well, I'll tell you what, they've got a couple of injuries. We know that as a result of the international break, you know, James Coleman having a horrible leg break and McCarthy out as well. But Liverpool have got their own problems there too, with Adam Lallana out with a thigh injury picked up against Lithuania, and the two Brazilians getting back late from playing for Brazil, I think it was, on Wednesday night. I mean, you know, didn't get back till Thursday. I think Firmino would have got back quicker had he driven. I mean, it's not a greatest preparation for this. And it's the prices. You know, you look at this and you know that Liverpool at Anfield always beat Everton. Well, I say always. They never lose to Everton at Anfield. Mm. 8 draws and 8 defeats since Everton last won there in 1999. But the prices, they're skewed. Everton are a bit big, aren't they? I mean, if Everton were a property, they'd be a basement flat with a skylight through which they can look up and see Liverpool. But they're close, and this is the closest they've been in the table for a long time. Everton have drawn level with Arsenal on 50 points. When did that happen? I have no idea when that happened. The thing I would say about Everton fans is they always seem more interested in Liverpool than in their own side. That's true. And if you've watched Everton in recent seasons, you'd understand why. Do you know what the collective... Here's one for you. Do you know what the collective noun for bitter blues is?
Go on.
Blues. Because they used to say this was the friendly derby. It's not anymore. I mean, the bitterness of Everton fans knows no bounds. Probably because of, you know, they still blame Liverpool fans for being kept out of Europe all those years ago when they last won a title. They probably blame Liverpool fans for getting pounded every time they go to Anfield. But 9-2 Everton is wrong, is definitely wrong. I'm still remembering Liverpool's performance at Anfield against Burnley a couple of weeks ago when they won 2-1. But they were outclassed by Burnley, who regularly get slaughtered in away games. Yes, they raised their game for Tottenham at Anfield. They raised their game for Arsenal at Anfield. But it's against teams outside that bracket. You know, I just worry about Liverpool here. I worry about Firmino. I worry about Coutinho. I think Everton are too big. Honestly, they're in good form. They'll go to Anfield for once with no fear factor, you know. And at 9-2, I've got to have a dabble on that.
OK. 4-1, actually, now, Doug. Just been...
4-1, is it? Yeah.
Backed him already.
Yeah, before I even finish the sentence, exactly. Punters are lumping on.
So would you take Everton on the outright, or maybe draw no bet?
Yeah, I would. I mean, if you're only basing this on the Goodison match earlier in the season, you'd back Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool won thanks to an injury time clincher from, I can't remember who it was now.
Mane,
but it seemed like, who was it?
Mane,
that's right, yeah, of course, yeah. But it seemed the easiest derby win since Chergals. I mean, that's how easy it was. Everton never laid a glove on Liverpool. But they've picked up massively since then. And Liverpool arguably have gone backwards. And yeah, I'd back it. 9-2 Everton. Oh, sorry, 4-1 Everton now. It's just too big.
OK. What do you think, Tom? I mean, Everton, the loss of Seamus Coleman, obviously psychologically pretty big, but also in the way that they play, he's a massive part of it, isn't he?
Well, he's huge because he gets to the byline probably 5, 6, 7 times in a match, and you know, his assists for Lukaku is pretty high. But you know, they got probably Mason Holgate will probably come in, and you know, he started the season doing pretty well for Everton, and And I was a bit dubious about Ronald Koeman at times this season for Everton, but he's slowly starting to get there. It's a good blend in the team. He knew he inherited an ageing squad, and he's starting to bring that average age down. His signings are on the whole work for him. And there's a bit of a zest about the Everton team. And they'll probably go there thinking they've got as good a chance as they have in many years to actually win at Anfield. And, you know, the incentive for them to close the gap on Liverpool to within 3 points is huge. Whether they can do it or not, I don't know. I'm still not convinced that Liverpool have turned any kind of corner. You know, Derek mentioned the performance against Burnley. I thought they were very fortunate to win the game. And again, yes, they played well against Man City, but they're the kind of opponents that absolutely suit them. There's no way Ronald Koeman will be setting up like Man City did. I know it was away from home, but Liverpool at Anfield, it will go there. And I wouldn't say try and make life difficult, but, you know, I think he'll have something up his sleeve, and I would expect, you know, a big performance from Romelu Lukaku in this game. I think given everything that's going on around him, you know, I think it's time for him to step up and prove that when the real big games come along, this is a big game in more ways than one, you know, he kind of steps up to the plate. So I wouldn't be surprised if he has a stormer. And if he does, then Everton have got a great chance of getting a result. But I just feel this is probably going to end up being all square. I don't think Liverpool are playing well enough to say that they warrant the price that they are to win this game of 8-11. But likewise, I just think, you know, that maybe that psychological hold that winning at Anfield has kind of held over Everton just might come into thinking. It shouldn't, but it so often does, doesn't it? It's a long, long time. So I'm going to play the draw in this one. I mean, there's been a fair few nil-nil draws actually between these two. So people kind of look at this derby and think it's explosive. There's red cards, there's loads of goals. When you dig a little bit deeper, they're the moments you kind of remember, you know, Phil Jagielka scoring from miles out and, you know, all those kind of moments. But actually, when you look at the kind of head-to-head in the history, there are a fair few draws, and actually there's been a fair few nil-nils. But I'm just going to play the draw at 14-5, plain and simple.
OK, plenty of enhanced odds to get involved with as well. Two players that we mentioned. Sadio Mane to score, Liverpool to win, as happened at Goodison. That's pushed out from 9-5 to 2-1. Lukaku to score, Everton to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1, pushed out from 10s to 12s. And, of course, this is a hashtag your odds game as well. So if you've got any fancies, maybe a little bit different, tweet at William Hill with hashtag your odds, and you can get your bet on there. For example, people have already been getting involved with that. Mane to score the first Liverpool goal and Lukaku to score the first Everton goal is 12-1. Or each team over one corner in each half is available at 3-1. If you like your corner bets, then something to get involved with there. We'll move to the Saturday tea time game then. Another derby, Southampton against Bournemouth, this time on the south coast. Southampton 8-13, the draw 16-5, and Bournemouth are 9-2. Bournemouth looked like they were on the holidays about a month ago, Tom. Have actually picked up okay in recent times, but still have the capacity to concede 4, 5, 6 goals in a game. Southampton likely to be without Manolo Gabbiadini here, and that's a massive blow for them because he's made a fantastic start to life at Southampton.
Yeah, he's a huge, huge blow if he doesn't play. I mean, you know, massive. It can't be sort of underestimated that because, of course, Van Dijk's absence from the team has suddenly seen the Southampton team. A game of, you know, the season maybe a sort of two halves for them. You know, they were brilliantly defensively first chunk of the season, but more recently, you know, they're suddenly conceding a lot of goals. And, you know, they've conceded, 15 in their last 4 home matches. 2 wins and 5 defeats recently in the league. And they're in a bit of a limbo period, Southampton. They're 9 points clear of the relegation zone, but they're 10 points off West Brom at this stage of the season, which I don't think many people... I think if you at this stage of the season, if you're 10 points behind West Brom, you're going down, aren't you? But Southampton are, you know, kind of in a kind of position, really, where I don't think they're going to really recover from that League Cup defeat. So, you know, it's an interesting one when you look at them. You know, without Gabbiadini, potentially, with the defensive injuries they've got, they're conceding a lot of goals. And when I talk about goals, it leads me nicely on to their opponents, Bournemouth, because, you know, Bournemouth have had at least 3 goals in 10 of the last 14 matches. And this is a team that simply cannot defend. They're still getting undone by crosses into the box. Pretty simple sort of piece of defending they can't manage to do. And the pressure that they're kind of putting on their strikers and their attackers is unbelievable. They know they've got to score 3 goals, I think, in a match now to get a result. And I think they'll probably have to do the same thing here. Their away run is wretched. I know they've turned things around with a few victories, but you've got to look at it on a bigger picture. And generally, Bournemouth are in a tough period. They've lost 6 out of 10. They've lost 7 of their last 9, you know, away from home. And, you know, I'm looking at Southampton's home results. They don't inspire me with much confidence here. You know, in the last sort of 8 games, they've only won 3. They've lost 4 of those home games. So you've got a Southampton side that aren't in great form, potentially don't have their star striker, but I still think there's goals in the team. But I can't make a case for them to win. I'm struggling to make a case for Bournemouth, given their run, given the fact that they're going to concede goals. So you know where I'm heading. over 3.5 goals at 2-1. I mean, it's something I'd look for anyway in Bournemouth games, particularly against this Southampton side.
OK, fair enough. Derek, are you thinking along the same lines? I couldn't be backing Southampton at 8-13 here.
It's a ridiculous price of all time. There's only one case you have to make for Bournemouth here, the 9-2 lump on. It's the most ridiculous price of the season. This is a Southampton side who were going nowhere. The only team they've beaten recently were Watford and Sunderland they've beaten. They've lost to West Ham, they've lost to Swansea, they've lost to Tottenham, they've lost to Man United, all being playing well in that day. I mean, this is a side that's easy to beat. They've lost a star striker. And, you know, this season's over. They're on the same number of points as Bournemouth, for God's sake. And Bournemouth are 9-2 to win. This is the Bournemouth side who went to Man United, played with 10 men for most of the game, drew 1-1. Followed that with two wins against Swansea and West Ham, the teams that, you know, Southampton have lost to. It's the most ridiculous price of all time. It really is. I've said this many times against Southampton's opponents, and I've come home stuck a few times. I won't this time. 9-2 is ridiculous. Get on.
OK. Bournemouth, a confident selection then for Derek. 9-2 in that one. And that is another hashtag your odds game. Plenty of enhanced odds for you to get involved with in that one as well. But I'm with Tom. I think there'll be plenty of goals in that one. We'll move to Sunday's televised games then. Swansea against Middlesbrough is the half one kickoff. Swansea 19-20. The draw 5-2. And Middlesbrough are 16-5. Not much has changed really since Aitor Karanka left at Middlesbrough. Still fairly laboured going forward. They have had the international break to maybe work on some attacking options, but they've not brought anyone else in, and well, you just can't see them scoring really. Swansea, on the other hand, since Paul Clement has taken over, have been much better. They are odds on though here, Derek, and that rings a few alarm bells with me.
It does. They shouldn't be that sure, even against Middlesbrough. I mean, this is such an obvious relegation six-pointer. You know, if the game finishes in a draw, there's a good chance the managers will be asked if they consider a point gained or 5 points dropped. I mean, that's how important it is for both sides, more so for Middlesbrough, who, if they don't get something from this game, they're down. They realise that. Swansea have got a little bit of margin for error, but for Middlesbrough, there's none. Can they raise the game accordingly? I'm not sure that they can. It's just the age-old failing for Middlesbrough. The powder puff up front, you just don't see them, you know, pressurising the side. Well, you can see them having the ball for long periods, but you can't see them scoring. Whereas Swansea, you know, when they go forward, they mean business. But Swansea, what, evens 10-11, are they? Something like that.
19-20, yeah.
Yeah, they're not good enough, are they, to be back their odds on? You know, I can't see Middlesbrough winning this game. But they fulfil every betting criteria I hold dear. You know, they're playing against an average side, and they're over the 3-1 or more. I've got to go for them. I mean, because it's you know that policy. I know Dave Kellner and Lee Bells have laughed at it over the years, but it's always stood me in good stead. And I know if I deserved it this time around, I'll be kicking myself in the car come Sunday afternoon. So I'm not going to. I've got to stay with stick to my principles. And Middlesbrough, only because they're 3-1. Against an average side.
OK. Enhanced odds to get involved with here. We've got Llorente to score Swansea to win, pushed out from 21-10 to 5-2. On Negredo to score Middlesbrough to win from 11-2 to 7-1. I must say, though, Tom, one that really took my eye, take the result out of it, if you like, Swansea to keep a clean sheet, 11-8. Not the worst bet I've ever seen.
No, not at all, actually, because I was looking at Swansea, you know, to win to nil here at 2-1, but maybe I prefer that just for that extra little bit of security, because you could definitely see a nil-nil in this game, 8-1. I mean, I got stung a little bit when these two sides last met back in December. It was actually Middlesbrough's last victory in the Premier League at home, 3-0. And at the time, you know, I thought Swansea, up against the sort of toothless Borough side, had the capabilities of going to the Riverside and getting a result, and they were completely outplayed. Since then, things have changed a little bit for Swansea. And again, the kind of problem is when I'm looking at Middlesbrough is I look down the squad list and I think whatever they've managed to work on under Steve Agnew, you know, and Joe Jordan, they still don't have the personnel, I think, that would strike fear into any Premier League side. And I include Swansea in that bracket. Whereas Swansea, set pieces as they proved at Chelsea with Sigurdsson, you know, and they've got other threats. They've got, they're a team, I think, that know what they're doing a lot more than Middlesbrough. I don't think there's a huge amount that the Middlesbrough sort of coaching staff will have been able to do in the last couple of weeks. This is do or die time for Middlesbrough. They have to go and win this game. So I'm expecting them to change things a little bit. They've got to be more open because they've got to throw the dice. If they do that, I think Swansea could really hurt them, because I think Swansea want that. I think they're a team when a game's sort of on its edge. You know, I think Swansea have got the players capable of getting it. So I've got to go with Swansea because I can't make any case whatsoever for Middlesbrough. I mean, they've drawn four and lost 7 games since that victory against Swansea at the Riverside. And Swansea have won the last 3 at home. They've scored 7 goals in that process, beating Southampton, Leicester and Burnley. So I'm with Swansea, and I'm going to back them to win 2-0 at 2-1.
OK. Remarkable that 15% of Middlesbrough's goals in the Premier League have come against Swansea. 28 games, just 20 goals so far. The 4 o'clock kickoff is Arsenal against Man City. Arsenal 2-1, the draw 5-2, and Man City are 11-8. Enhanced odds for this featuring Ozil, Sane, Sanchez and Aguero. Do take a look at the William Hill website for those. But could anyone get involved with Arsenal at 2-1 in this? They're in rank form, but Tom, they are 2-1 against a Man City side that are a little bit weak at the core sometimes. I know that's an accusation that can be levelled at Arsenal full stop, but can I tempt you with 2-1 here?
Sadly not. I wouldn't even know. I mean, apart from obviously some of the European games, sort of when Arsenal have been this kind of price at home against anybody in the Premier League, because, I just think the more you kind of look at Arsenal, and as every week goes by and every little story filters out, it just seems to be more and more in a shambles. I mean, they don't, you know, Arsene Wenger's saying last week that you're going to hear news about my contract very shortly. Yeah, he's just said this week that nothing's been done yet, nothing's been finalised. I mean, they cannot get anything sorted, and it's spreading badly throughout that dressing room. I look at that Arsenal team, and I look at the personnel there, and I just think, who is there that is going to be able to sort of rally the troops? They weren't just pathetic against West Brom. They were absolutely abysmal in every single department. And I know people might look at this and say it's different. You know, it's a big game and everything else, and, you know, they're back at home. But now the Emirates has become a poison place for them to play. You know, the fans are going to be distracted by what else is going on. And I think Pep Guardiola will be absolutely rubbing his hands together at the prospect of this game. Because Man City, of course, have not been doing too badly of late. And I don't think they've got a huge amount to worry about from Arsenal. I really don't. And I can probably see there being quite a few goals, particularly if Man City score in the first half hour of this one. It's game, set and match. You get a first goal against Arsenal now, and Arsenal, no way are they coming back in the game. So, I think City at 11-8 are good enough for me to back against Arsenal. I think they win the game, but I think there'll be some goals in it. And, you know, you look at Arsenal, even though they've not been playing well, more often than not, they've been scoring. So I'm just going to enhance it slightly and take Man City and both teams to score at 11-4.
OK. Derek, Arsenal have won 3 of their last 9. But 2 of those were against Sutton and Lincoln. They've lost 6 of them. What do you think here?
Well, I mean, that's against, away from the top bracket. Against the top teams, their record is even worse. I was just reading somewhere today. Since the start of the 2012-13 season, Arsenal have played 47 Premier League matches against Big Six rivals. They've lost 19 of them and drawn 18. Won only 10. I mean, that's a shock. For a team that's got title pretensions, that is absolutely shocking. And they're going to finish outside the Champions League places for the first time in 20-odd years this season. But they'll still have as good a chance of winning the Champions League next season as they've had for the last 20-odd years, i.e. none. I mean, I've said many times on this podcast, how on earth the Nutty Professor has stayed in that job for so long is one of the mysteries, not just of football, of life. I mean, you know, and finally, dozy Arsenal fans are waking up to that. I looked at this fixture, you know, and I thought, I'm going to be back in City no matter what the price, which is, you know, it's blasphemy for me to say that kind of thing. 11-8 is a no-brainer. I think City will walk this. I really do. I mean, you know, people say, well, Arsenal are 2-1, and it's Arsenal, isn't it? But it's Arsenal, yeah, which is why City is such a good bet, because this Arsenal side, I've got nothing. I said it at the start of the season, Sanchez apart, there's nothing in that Arsenal side that makes me, you know, makes me think that they're a trophy-winning team, and I've been proven right. They're just I wouldn't be no surprise. Everton are level on points with them. Arsenal got 2 games in hand. It'd be no surprise whatsoever to see Everton finish above Arsenal this season, and wouldn't that be a way to go out for Wenger, finishing below Everton? City all day long in this.
Right, we'll move back to Saturday then and the 3 o'clock games, starting with Burnley-Tottenham. Burnley 9-2, the draw 11-4. Tottenham are 7-10. Tottenham, of course, without Harry Kane in this one. That didn't bother them at all when they beat Southampton 2-1 the last time that we saw them. But they come up against a Burnley side. A lot has been made of Burnley's home form, but it is pretty sensational. The 6th best record in the league. You look at the last 5 home games, they beat Middlesbrough, Sunderland, Southampton, Leicester, and then a draw with runaway league leaders Chelsea. And 9-2, I thought here, Derek, was a little disrespectful to Sean Dyche's men.
It is. I mean, they haven't played at home in 7 weeks, Burnley. I mean, given that the last home game was that cup defeat by Lincoln, it's probably a good thing. But, you know, Spurs away from home, for the side of second in the league, it's a shocking record. They've won as many away games this season as Crystal Palace. I mean, how are they second? I just don't understand it. Too big a problem. Burnley have beaten some good teams this season at Turf Moor, Liverpool amongst them. And even away from home, where everybody laughs at them, they don't get murdered, do they? And I watched them against Liverpool at Anfield a couple of weeks ago, well, a bit longer than that, 3 weeks ago. They were the better side. It is, you're right, these odds are an insult to Burnley at Turf Moor. And Tottenham, as you say, have lost Harry Kane. That lessens their threat by at least 25%. They've had the international break, more players involved in that than Burnley. The more I look at it, the more I'm thinking Burnley at 9-2 is a major, major bet. There's some great bets on the coupon this weekend, and this comes in under that category.
Okay, enhanced odds. Andre Gray to score, Burnley to win, pushed out from 17-2 to 12-1. Dele Alli to score and Spurs to win from 17-10 to 2-1. He's been in fantastic form of late, Tom. Again, it's one of those games that you would not be surprised if Spurs go here and win 2-0 pretty comfortably. You just can't see Tottenham battering them. And I think if you're backing a side at 7-10 away from home against a side as good as Burnley have been at home so far this season, you have to have that element of, well, they could run riot here. I just can't see it happening.
No, I can't. And there's a couple of reasons probably why I'd point to that as well. Is a couple of results will stick out in my head from Tottenham this season away from home. They could be costly, these. You know, it was the goalless draw at Bournemouth earlier on this season and at Sunderland only recently. You know, we're talking about a team that, in theory, are title contenders. And that's massive drop points already. And also, you know, the record without Harry Kane is not too bad in terms of results, OK? But their record without Kane this season in terms of scoring goals is pretty poor. In 9 Premier League and Champions League games that they haven't had him, they've basically not scored more than one goal in those games. So, you know, that's the struggle for me, because Burnley at Turf Moor, I'm backing them to score, aren't I? I'm looking at Tottenham and I'm thinking, without Kane, away from home, this kind of fixture, you know, how difficult is it going to be for them? Look, Tottenham are a ruthless machine. I'm a huge, huge fan of them. But I've got to give Burnley a chance here of getting something. I'm going to play the draw at 11-4. It's good enough. I did look initially at the draw and both teams to score, because I think there's a likelihood of that coming true. But I just think a bit of draw. I've got to look at Tottenham away from home, and there's something about them, especially without someone like Harry Kane, about getting over the line. They've struggled at so-called easier places than Burnley. So I think this one's going to end all square.
OK, we'll move to Chelsea against Crystal Palace. Another hashtag Your Odds game, plenty of them to choose from. Do take a look on the William Hill website, and plenty of enhanced odds in this game as well, including Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win from 23-20 to 11-8. Palace somehow have won 3 in a row. Chelsea 2-7, the draw 9-2 and Palace 11-1 here. Allardyce has finally managed to mould players into the way that he wants to play. They've not conceded in those 3 wins, Tom. That said, this is a very, very different task, isn't it?
Well, it is. You know, Big Sam, very much the English version of Antonio Conte. It's a defence first. You know, he's getting some results. But, you know, we talked about Chelsea on the last podcast, and, you know, I've talked about them kind of being a changeable machine this season. And now they're a team that's still winning games. I'm still really impressed with them. But they're conceding goals, and there are little sort of weaknesses in their armour, and teams are taking advantage of it. You know, they've won 6 of the last 8 in the Premier League. They've drawn a couple, but they have conceded in the last 6 games. They've conceded against Burnley, against Swansea, against West Ham, and against Stoke. And there is that feeling, I think, amongst the Chelsea squad that by no means does Antonio Conte let them think that they've won the league, even though privately they might actually think that. But they've definitely sort of eased off a little bit, especially in terms of that defensive resistance. They've got themselves a lead, and now they're just sort of cruising home, and I think that's what they'll do. And they're up against the Palace side, who, yeah, you know, defensively they're a little bit better. They've had, you know, 3 clean sheets on the spin. They've won those 3 matches. And we know they still have some attacking threat. And I think they'll look at this Palace as maybe a free game, really. You know, they've given themselves some breathing space now. They'll go to Chelsea, like, they'll probably look at how Swansea approached the game, you know, a few weeks back, and, you know, go there with a little bit of an attitude as of, look, if we can score the first goal, we might be able to cause a problem. So, you know, I've got to back Chelsea at a win. You know, take your pick of the goal scorers, but you won't go far wrong with Eden Hazard. But I'm going to play Chelsea and both teams to score at 5-2. It's my default setting now for Chelsea. I don't care who they're playing. You know, even against West Ham, they're in control of that game and they conceded late on. I just always think they're likely to let one in. So Chelsea and both teams have scored at 5-2 is my play.
Big old price when you consider they're 2-7 on the outrights. Did you say that Sam Allardyce was like the English version of Antonio Conte?
I think he would say that, yes.
Yeah, I didn't like that very much when he said that, Tom. It made me a little bit upset. But
imagine
anyway.
How Antonio Conte will feel.
What do you think, Derek? Are Chelsea going to win this?
Well, I was seriously hoping Palace would go down. I mean, those three results on the spin, three wins on the spin, I've given them a real lot of breathing space, but not too much, you know, because I'm not sure this is a free game, Tom, because as well as this game, they've got to play every other team currently in the top six as well between now and the end of the season. So, you know, they're going to have to pick up points from somewhere against these top teams. Otherwise, they'll be right back in the thick of it. The three wins they've had, they've only come against Middlesbrough, Watford, and, OK, the West Brom one. They played West Brom at a good time when it looked as though the Baggies were taking their foot off the gas. I'm not getting too worked up by that, especially as they only beat Watford last week or when they last played. They didn't get a shot on target, you know. It was their own goal, I give them the win. They didn't get a shot on target. I think Chelsea will win this all day long. You know, I've said many times, Chelsea will win the lead. They're not as good as a 10-point lead suggests they are. I think they're without Eden Hazard this week as well. So I don't think it's going to be an absolute cakewalk for them, but they'll beat Palace. I'm going to go for under 2.5 goals, odds against that, 21-20, under 2.5. I think this could be a 1-0 or a 2-0 win for Chelsea.
OK. Is Hazard out, is he?
Well, I read that somewhere that he was, yeah. I know he's in your in your list of... I don't know how true that is. I'll have to keep an eye on the team sheets for that one.
Yeah, do just take a look at that, listeners, before placing your goal scorer bets. Wait until the team news is out, but that is Chelsea against Palace. Next up is Hull against West Ham. Hull are 6-4, the draw 23-10, and West Ham are 2-1. Hull's home form has been nothing short of sensational of late, Derek. The only defeat since the start of November at home was against Manchester City. They've been really, really good, and West Ham are a side that I just cannot get right. They're in pretty rank form at the minute, but I'd be keen to oppose them here, which probably means that they'll go on to win. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I thought the same. I looked at the fixture and I thought, I've got to go for Hull. I mean, they've lost three on the spin, West Ham, haven't they? You know, not to Chelsea, no disgrace there, but then Bournemouth and Leicester. They're nothing to bet on. The manager's under pressure. The two owners are sending out veiled threats by Twitter and other social media outlets. It's not going well for West Ham. What worries me is that Hull are a bit short. I looked at this fixture, thought, yeah, I'll have a go Hull here. 6-4, not giving too much away. This is a team that got absolutely murdered by Everton last time out. I know their home form is vastly different. They've beaten Swansea. They've beaten Liverpool at home recently. They only drew with Burnley, by the way. I've still got to go for Hull, though. I mean, West Ham are missing some key players. Antonio's out. I think Winston Reid's out. Obiang's out. It's not the kind of personnel you want to go to Hull with, especially when you're trying to turn around the three defeats on the spin. Yeah, I'm going to go for Hull. I don't think it's the greatest price in the world, but I can see a Hull win.
Okay. Abel Hernandez to score Hull to win, 14-5 out to 7-2. Andy Carroll to score West Ham to win from 18-5 out to 9-2. And of course, hashtag your odds on this one as well. Tom, what did you make of this one?
I read this stat this week. Marco Silva, he's not lost a home game in 3 years. I think he's only managed Hull, though, in those 3 years. But no, Estoril Sporting...
I was going to say, neither have I, to be fair, Tom.
No, exactly, yeah. But it's some record, isn't it? I don't know how he's done it with a team. I mean, Hull's top scorer is playing for West Ham in Robert Snodgrass. I mean, you know, it's pretty remarkable what he's done. I mean, 10 points in the last 12. Bournemouth, Liverpool, Burnley, Swansea all beaten. Swansea and Manchester United in the Cup. And I look at West Ham, and I've looked at them away from home. I was really impressed with their performance a few weeks back at Middlesbrough. Maybe I shouldn't be giving who they were playing. But I look at West Ham and I think, yeah, they're a good away team. You know, that's where they're going to pick up the majority of their points. They've conceded more goals away from home than Sunderland this season. They've lost half of their away matches, so 7 of 14. They're conceding plenty of goals as well. 16 in the last 7 games. 2 points from 5 matches. West Ham are in no form. And Hull... You know, when we were talking last week about, you know, the relegation chances of the teams and who's likely to stay up, you know, I gave Hull the best chance of the current bottom three to stay up, not only on their fixture list, but based on that home form. You know, Sunderland and Middlesbrough are showing nothing. Hull at least have this to fall back on, and this has to be a win for them. The only thing I might look at as well, you know, is potentially both teams getting on the score sheet. You know, West Ham are conceding. Hull are strong at home. But Hull have conceded in 10 of the most recent 12 matches. So they're getting results at home, but more often than not, they concede. And I think they'll make life probably harder for themselves than they should do. So again, I'm going to play the home team of both teams to score here. 17-5 for Hull to win and both teams to score.
Man United against West Brom next up. Man United 4-11. The draw 4-1 and West Brom are 8-1. enhanced odds. Mkhitaryan to score Man U to win from 13 to 10 to 6 to 4. And Rondon to score West Brom to win, pushed out from 14s to 20s. Kellner will be back in that in his Las Vegas suite. What do you think of this one then, Tom? Because Man U are very short. West Brom typically, or in my mind at least, very, very solid at the back. But away from home, they can ship a fair few. And Pulis seems to have an attitude in these games of just kind of, right, fine, we're not too bothered about this because we will win the games that we need to win. That said, they're only 9 points behind Man U going into this.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, it's been an unbelievable season for West Brom. And we've kind of made that point a few times this season. He's exactly right about Pulis. They win the game, they target the matches that are expected to win, and they go and win those games. Bar a few hiccups, more often than not, they get that job done. But away from home, as you mentioned, they're not great. 3 wins from 14 away matches. And they have been a little bit more carefree, I think, in sort of their approach at home, which has left them more open away from home. But look at Manchester United. I mean, they've not lost a game in the Premier League since October. But they've drawn so many. I mean, they should, in theory, if you're reading out a stat like that, you'd expect the team to be, you know, much higher at the table. Yet they're still in a bit of a scrap to finish in the top four. And at home, they've drawn 7 of the last 12 matches. Now, that is nowhere near up to scratch. And you take Ibrahimovic out of the equation. I think Paul Pogba's a doubt for this match. And I still think without Ibrahimovic, they've struggled a little bit to find or to really provide any answers for that particular problem. And I don't know. I'm really stuck on this game because on one hand, I'm looking at West Brom and think 8-1 for a team that, as you say, you know, aren't exactly a million miles behind Manchester United. That is a big old price. But I can't back them based on that away record. Can I see them scoring again? Probably the 2 goals I think they need to win the game. Probably not. So I'm going to play the draw here at 4-1. I think West Brom are more than capable of doing that. I'm still not convinced about Manchester United. This is exactly the kind of fixture that Manchester United have struggled in a little bit this season. So I'm going to play the draw. I also like potentially West Brom plus a goal at 2-1 as well. So you can take your pick from those two. But I definitely think West Brom are good enough to get a result.
Certainly not the best 4-11 I've ever seen, Derek.
Mm. No, I'm just close scrutiny of Man United's recent results don't give you much confidence in those kind of odds. I mean, you know, they beat Southampton about six or seven weeks ago in the cup final, but didn't play well. They were lucky there. They've beaten Middlesbrough since then, but nobody else. You know, there's draws against Bournemouth in there, a draw against Rostov, a defeat against Chelsea. Oh, they did beat Rostov in the return, but it was an unaccomplished performance. And the manager, you look at him now, the special one. I don't think so. The special once, maybe, but not anymore. I don't think he's got it right at United. They might still finish in the top four. They might still overhaul Liverpool because they've got games in hand. But, you know, that should be the least they've given the outlay in the summer. I mean, Marino this week was talking about how absurd it would be for Man United to bid for Neymar. You know, we can't buy those kind of players. This is the man who spent 90 million breaking the world transfer record on Paul Pogba, by the way. You know, the more he bleeds, the more distasteful Marino becomes. But he's still box office, I suppose. West Brom, their record at Old Trafford recently. They've been there the last few seasons. They've won twice there. And I said earlier in the season, I can't get a handle on West Brom. I can't read them. But we all read them right against Arsenal a couple of weeks ago. We all said, you know, OK, they look as though they've got the flip-flops on, but they'll raise it for Arsenal because there's no love lost between him, Pulis and Arsene Wenger. And sure enough, they did a number on Arsenal, played really well. Great professional performance. They might well do that against Man United. 8-1 is certainly tempting. I might do the Phelps route and go and play safe and go for West Brom with a goal start at 2-1. I think that's a big price there.
Right, the final game is Watford against Sunderland. Watford 17-20, the draw 13-5, and Sunderland in the betting at 7-2 here. Sunderland have won just once this calendar year. That was that amazing 4-0 win at Crystal Palace. Interestingly, both teams to score in Sunderland games has not landed since, I think I'm right in saying, the start of January, only twice this calendar year, and they've gone a remarkable amount of games without both teams scoring in all competitions. I think it's 8 now in all competitions where both teams haven't scored. That's partly because they don't score many themselves.
Yes,
Deeney
exactly.
To score and Watford to win was 2s, is now 5-2. Defoe to score, Sunderland to win was 5s, is now 7-1. Derek, this could potentially have all the hallmarks of that Palace game all over again, I suppose, but at the same time, it is very hard to back Sunderland, isn't it?
Well, it is, but you look at their recent record. The only game they scored in their last six was that ridiculous game at Palace when they won 4-0, when Palace was just so bad it was beyond belief. But they've had a tough run of fixtures in that time. You know, they played Tottenham in that time, they played Everton, they played Man City. At home to Burnley, maybe there was a chance there for them, but we've seen that Burnley are improving. So this is a fixture more within their compass. And Watford are beatable, aren't they? They are a beatable side. Southampton have beaten them. Palace have beaten them in recent weeks. I think it looks to me as though Watford got those two results around about, what, January, when they looked as though they were going to be plummeting towards the relegation territory. They beat Arsenal away and then they followed up with beating Burnley and they looked all was well. And it almost looks as though they'd given up after that, though. We were safe now. Well, they're not. You know, a defeat here and it could really be up against it. What it boils down to in a fixture like this, when you can see any result happening, is that Watford are odds on and you don't back Watford are odds on. Generally, you never back Sunderland, but there's a glimmer there for me. They're keeping it tight at the back, and I still remember, I wish I hadn't seen this game, because it's cost me a bundle in recent weeks, a 2-2 draw against Liverpool, when they were unbelievable Sunderland that day. Now, if they can play half as well as that, as they did that day, they'll beat Watford. I'm tempted by those prices. I'm tempted. They've got to get a goal soon. They're a Premier League side, for God's sake. They've got an England striker playing for them. They've got to get a goal soon. I think it's too big, 7-2. I can see a Defoe 84th minute goal in a 1-0 Sunderland win.
Okay. That's specific. I like it. What do you think then, Tom? It is hard to back Sunderland, isn't it? That's the thing. But, to be fair, Watford are probably due a change of manager. They haven't done it for a fair few months now. But it is difficult to get a handle on this one, I thought.
Nothing is going to get like a testimonial, isn't he, the Watford manager, for surviving as long as he has. But this at the price is a punt, isn't it, on Sunderland? Because, you know, Sunderland at times this season, the 4-0 at Crystal Palace, the victory down at Bournemouth, every now and then there's this little surprise result from Sunderland that you maybe didn't see coming, or you might have thought they had a small, small chance. But this has got to be one that David Moyes has kind of targeted. You know, again, what's the international break been like for them? I just can't back Watford. I mean, it's 17-20. It doesn't interest me in any way. Sunderland very much do. You know, Jermaine Defoe, the week he's had, you know, I think he'll continue that. And if they can get some service up to him, I just think, again, first goal sort of crucial in this game. So I can see Sunderland, I don't see them getting out of trouble, but I definitely see this is a very, very winnable game for them. And 7-2 is not bad at all. And that's, I mean, I'm, you know, if Sunderland win, Jermaine Defoe's going to score. So scrap the 7-2 and play Jermaine Defoe to score Sunderland to win at 7-1. I mean, you know, it's. I don't think it's even a debate to be had. If Sunderland win, Jermaine Defoe scores, so you're much better off taking the 7-1, and that's what I'll be playing and hoping that Sunderland, you know, their kind of usual end of season flurry begins now.
I've completely missed a game out here. Did either of you two notice that? Did you think I was doing it deliberately?
I just thought
no one will worry if you leave that out.
The final game that we're going to focus on this edition of the punt is Leicester against Stoke. Save the best to last. Leicester 21-20, the draw 12-5, and Stoke 14-5. Enhanced odds, Vardy to score, Leicester to win, pushed out from 23-10 to 3s, and Arnautovic to score, Stoke to win from 11-2 to 7s. Tom, Leicester obviously in flying form of late. They've really turned things round. They needed to, mind. And Stoke are your classic mid-table side now. They've got nothing to play for. And still, I don't like Leicester quite at that price, but they're a completely different side to what they were, what, 5-6 weeks ago, aren't they?
Well, yeah, completely different side. And, you know, Leicester as they are right now, you've got to be backing. I mean, they look like the team that won the Premier League last season. They're playing extremely well. Scoring goals as well. I mean, that's the big thing for them. You know, they hadn't scored in 2017 up until the last three Premier League victories, in which they've scored 9 goals. So all of a sudden, you know, that's come back to them. And Stoke, again, are they in a little bit of limbo at this stage of the season? Pretty mixed form for them of late. I mean, they've drawn 3 matches, they've lost 3 and they've won 2 during, you know, the sort of recent 8-match run. They've not scored in the last 3 away games. I can't make a case for Stoke because I'm so strong about Leicester at the moment. I mean, you know, it's a bit similar. A lot of people made, you know, quite a bit of money back in Leicester once they kind of got into the rhythm last season. And, you know, from sort of September onwards, and people realised, you know, this is a serious side that can win any match that they play. You've got to think that Leicester in exactly the same kind of form as they were last year. Therefore, you've got to be backing them, particularly as well, you know, with kind of Stoke and sort of where they're at this season. So, you know, I can't look past Leicester here. In 21-20, I'm going to take them plain and simple at home. You know, it's the home form actually has probably been something that's propped them up in the early stages of the season. It's not been too bad, so cannot make a case for Stoke. I do think there'll be goals in this one, though, as well. If you're unsure about the result, I don't think you'll have any problem here looking at sort of over 2.5 at 19-20 or even over 3.5 at 5-2. But I'm going to take Leicester, and I'm going to take Leicester and over 2.5 goals here at 21-10. I think there'll be a few in the game.
OK, feel-good factor back at the King Power. Derek, what do you think?
Yeah, nothing that happened to Leicester before the change of manager applies now. this, you know, not just a different manager, it's a different team entirely. And I think they're a big price odds against, you know, I really do. Stoke are given every hint that they're a team with their eye on the beach. And Leicester are anything but, you know, the manager's keeping them fired and they want to prove all the knockers wrong, that they are still a good side. And this is a team that won the league last season, playing finally like the team that won the league. Why shouldn't they beat Stoke at home? Absolutely no reason why they shouldn't. And I think 21-20 is a good price for Leicester.
OK, fair enough. What about Naps then this week, gents? Derek, I'll let you have first stab.
I tell you what, there's a few things for Napism for me here. Burnley, even at home to Tottenham, I think that's a big price. I like Leicester at home to Stoke. But I am going for Bournemouth, 92 to win at Southampton.
OK, Tom?
I've got to be against Arsenal in every single shape and any way, shape and form. So I'm going to back Man City to win at the Emirates, minus a goal at 3-1.
Okay, and I'm going to take an absolute flyer on behalf of Dave Kellner here. And as a Newcastle fan, this hurts, but I'm going to take Sunderland minus a goal at Watford. Okay, now I know the 7-2 is fine by itself, but I just think when Watford lose, they tend to really chuck it all in. And as we've seen, Sunderland can go away from home and score a few goals when they score one. that is an issue, admittedly. But 10-1's way too big on a Watford side that could implode at any moment, in my opinion. Anyway, so there we go. Three quite big price naps as well, if you want to get involved this week here on The Punt. Dave Kellner will be back next week, as will Tom Curran and Derek McGovern. And that's just about all from me.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.